Good morning. Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. Greystone's a place where all are welcome, no matter who you are, no matter what you do professionally or in your spare time. We believe there is room for you to belong here. I also want to add, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, whether you're feeling refreshed and revived or whether you're feeling depleted, there is room for you. And we hope that today, during this time of worship, that you might find a little bit of nourishment to feed your soul and to sustain you for the journey that lies ahead. If you're our guest this morning, we're especially glad that you have chosen to worship with us today, and we ask that you take a moment to fill out the connection card, which you'll find in the friendship register on your pew. That's a lot of church language. If you see a blue notebook and open it up, fill out one of the pages that's in there. And any information that you choose to leave with us, we're grateful for. And we'll use that as an opportunity to extend our welcome beyond this time and outside of this room. Today is All Saints Sunday, which is a day in which we pause to remember those who have gone on before, those who have lived lives of faith, who have set themselves as an example to each and every one of us about how to live faithfully from the beginning to the end of our lives. And so we may name a few of those saints from Greystone who have passed in this last year. And as we do that, I pray that each of you might remember some of your own saints who has shaped your journey and how they have called you to live your life faithfully from start to finish. So as we take a moment to pause and remember those folks, let us also stand and prepare to begin worship today with the All Saints Litany.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord God, by your grace, we are running a race.
We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses.
Patriarchs and matriarchs, prophets and psalmists, disciples and evangelists, martyrs and saints.
We thank you for their example. We praise you for their lives of faith. For all your saints, O Lord, who strove in you to live, who followed, obeyed, adored you.
Lord God, by your grace, we are running a race.
We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses.
Loved ones, now resting in you, who guided us, nurtured and cared for us. Ancestors who worked and traveled, lived and died, that we might be who we are, where we are, your precious children in this community of believers.
We thank you for their example. We praise you for their lives of faith. For all your saints, O Lord, who strove in you to die, who counted you their great reward, accept our faithful cry.
Lord God, by your grace, we are running a race.
We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses.
Members of this congregation, Mary Thomasine Fisher Bennett, Virgie Alton Leonard Baxley, James Thomas Paul, friends who helped, guided and uplifted us, children of your family, sheep of your fold, sinners of your redeeming.
We thank you for their example. We praise you for their lives of faith. For this, your name we bless and humbly pray in you, that we, like them in holiness, may live and die in you.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely.
And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us,
looking to Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Amen.
Amen.
While you're standing, if you'll take out your hymnal and turn to number 767, 767, let's sing together, For All the Saints.
morning. So you may have already heard this morning that today is All Saints Day. Today is when we celebrate people who have gone before us, people who taught people about God and about Jesus, and who showed us through their lives how to follow God. And in church, we especially remember those people who have already died and are already in heaven with Jesus. But one of the things that I like to do on All Saints Day is think about the people who are still living, who helped me form my faith, people who taught me about God and about Jesus, and people who showed me God's love, and try to find a way to say thank you to them for what they did for me. And I want to show you a picture of one of those people. So the lady in the blue shirt, so you see, this is at her birthday party. You see? Well, there you go. And how old was she turning in this birthday party? 90. So this was a year ago, so she's 91 now, and her name is Miss Mary. Miss Mary lived down the street from the little church where I grew up at Hopkins Chapel. And Miss Mary was my Sunday school teacher in first grade and second grade and third grade. She taught me all 3 years, every Sunday. She was there. And I remember Miss Mary sitting in her wooden chair. Her hair was already white and it was pulled up in a bun. And Miss Mary would read to us from the Bible and she would teach us the books of the Bible, and she would teach us how to pray, and we even sang songs in Sunday school, and Miss Mary showed me how much God loves me and made sure that I heard the stories of the Bible and that I knew that God loved me and that my church loved me and that she loved me because that's what God taught her to do. Miss Mary, at 91, still loves Jesus. I found a video on Facebook. Let me see if I can find it. I'm just going to show it to you. I'm not going to play it. It is, and I'm sure Miss Mary enjoyed her extra hour of sleep too, because Miss Mary is probably at church this morning, either teaching Sunday school or leading in music like she's doing in this video. If you can see this one, there we go. She's kind of right there in the corner. The video jumps around a little bit, but I don't know if you can really tell for sure what she's doing, but she is playing the guitar and the harmonica at the same time at 91 years old, leading in homecoming Sundays and reunion or revival services at churches where it's either a grandson or a nephew is preaching. And she is there with her family leading in music. And I thought that was really cool that somebody who was a hero of my faith and who taught me when I was your age is still teaching people about God today. This time she's doing it through music. And I thought that it was really cool because I can't play a piano or a harmonica, much less play them both at the same time. And I thought that it was really cool that somebody who taught me so much when I was little is still teaching and still showing people how much God loves them. So I want you to think about, who is it in your life? Who teaches you about God? Who teaches you about Jesus and how much God loves you? And if you see one of those people in the next week or two, tell them thank you. Tell them thank you for teaching you in Sunday school or teaching you in missions or teaching you in choir. Tell them thank you for saying hi to you every Sunday when you come to church. Can you do that for me? Yes. Let's say a prayer together. Dear God, we thank you for the many heroes of our faith, for the saints who have taught us and shown us love, who are spending their days with you in heaven. And we thank you for the heroes of our faith who still walk with us here on earth, for those who
rocked us as babies and taught us in Sunday school and are still teaching us, whether we are children or grown-ups. We thank you for those who have shown us through their life how to be a good servant, how to be a faithful follower of you, and help us through our own actions and through our own words to be that kind of example to others. In your name we pray. Amen.
Timmy didn't want to put his money in the offering plate Sunday morning. So his mother decided to use some hurried reasoning with him. "You don't want that money, honey," she whispered in his ear. "Quick, drop it in the plate. It's tainted." Horrified, the little boy obeyed. After a few seconds, he whispered, "But Mommy, why was the money tainted? Was it dirty?" "Oh, no, dear," she replied. "It's not really dirty. It just ain't yours. And it ain't mine. It's God's." Oh. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." As we look out at our world today, we see a world more divided. We see a world where love struggles to get a foothold. Jesus lived in a similar time. Jesus brought a message of hope and love and kindness and forgiveness. Yet he didn't join the crowds. His life reflected his kindness to all men and all women and all children, not one particular group. He taught the world to love one another. You see, Jesus loved mercy. He did justice, and he walked humbly with his Father. To ensure that this message is shared with the world, this is why I give. When I bring my stewardship to this place, I take a small step to ensure the love that was expressed on the cross is not lost in hatred and the injustices of the world so prevalent in our society today. Why do I give? So we can be on mission. So we can express God's love in word and deed in this place and in the world. I see our stewardship taking place when we put up sheetrock in Lumberton. Give mothers of mentally and physically challenged children a morning off. Take food to urban ministries. Teaching a refugee English as a second language. Sing in the choir. Make sure the mic is working so you can hear me this morning. Grow a garden to feed those who don't have enough. Give a voice to those who have none. Work with the Salvation Army to keep folk off the street. Bring books to children in Arkansas. Preaching on Sunday morning. Teaching in Sunday school. keeping nursery. We give, we mission, we feed, because we love God. And our stewardship reflects this love. Stewardship is so much more than giving money. I pray that the giving of my household will reflect a lifestyle surrendering our time, our talents, and our treasures to be used by God. As that commitment is made in my household, I am reminded of a stewardship testimony where the speaker indicated that he never wanted any bill in his household to be bigger than what he and his family were giving to the church. That is a model of stewardship I aspire to. My prayer is that the stewardship of my household in some small way helps to ensure that the message Jesus came to share with the world keeps getting told. Jesus knows our heart. He engages us in our life and our stewardship. I don't understand how he does it. I just know that he does. In closing, I know that we will never have all we want, but we will always have what we need. Knowing this is why I give.
As we lift our voices in praise once again to God, let's sing hymn number 184, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. If you're able, will you stand as we sing together?
Good things come from you, dear Lord, and from these riches we bring this offering. Help us to use it to further your purpose in this place and for the benefit of those in need. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Today's text comes from the 6th chapter of Luke, the 20th through the 31st verses, if you'd like to follow along in your Bible or the Pew Bible. I think it's on page 729 in the Pew Bible. Jesus has been teaching in this account in Luke and healing on a mountain. And now he's come down the mountain on the plain, as was said. And then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For this is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not hold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
in a small town, there were two brothers who, over the course of many, many years, cheated and swindled and robbed and generally stole from everybody they ever did business with. The entire town and surrounding community was well aware of what the two brothers were up to, and they despised them for their dishonesty. One day, one of the brothers mysteriously died, and although they had never been to church at all, the other brother went to the local pastor and offered vast sums of money if the pastor would come and do the funeral and say the appropriate words, and there would be a large bonus if the pastor could at some point during the course of the eulogy refer to his brother as a saint. Well, as you might imagine, the pastor had a little bit of integrity, and so he was troubled by the request. However, it was a very poor church, and the building was in disrepair. It desperately needed some updating. But word got around. The parishioners had heard about the pastor's dilemma, and they came to the funeral curious about what might unfold. Well, the hour came, the funeral began, the church was packed, and the pastor started with the usual prayers and followed with the rites and traditions as required by the church's teachings, and in closing, referring to the man in the box, the pastor turned and looked at the other brother and said, "As you know, the departed was an awful individual who robbed and cheated and swindled and lied and stole from everybody he ever did business with. But compared to his brother, he was a saint." Well, it sounds like compared to this guy's brother, all of us might be considered saints. At least I hope so. As Baptists, you know, we don't talk about saints a whole lot. We don't participate in the veneration process with our Catholic sisters and brothers. We don't pray to or through our ancestors like practitioners of other faiths. We don't adorn our mantles with photos of our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents. We don't line the streets with marigold petals, hoping that family saints might return from the other side with some guidance about how we live our days. And we don't talk about saints all that much. Unless, of course, we're referring to the New Orleans saints who are having a great season, by the way. You know, Drew Brees is a Baptist. For most Baptists, though, the only time we think about saints is here, on this one Sunday each year. When we gather together in our pews, we make sure that we sing hymn number 767, and we remember those who in the last year have passed away, those who have gone on from us to be with God in their eternal resting place. Although we only read the names of those who have passed in the last year, many of us use this opportunity to reflect and remember the saints whose stories live on in our own lives. So this week, as I prepared for today, for this All Saints Sunday, I sat down and remembered a few of my favorite saints. Dorothy Day and Mother Teresa came to mind. Two faithful women who dedicated their lives to the service of the poor. Dorothy Day, perhaps the lesser known of the two, was an American journalist best known for her work in New York during the Great Depression. She fed the hungry. She clothed the naked. She used her public voice as a journalist to inspire charity, to advocate for justice, and to encourage others to do exactly the same things. But her work was not without personal sacrifice. She was jailed on more than one occasion. She received much ridicule for her work and for her lifestyle, and she gave pretty much all that she had in terms of her personal resources to make sure that others were dry and fed and warm on the coldest of winter days. Day is best known for founding the Catholic Worker Movement with her companion, Peter Morin. Her legacy
and lifelong commitment to the service of others has earned her consideration to become a bona fide saint. She's almost there. Well, Mother Teresa has now officially been named a saint in the Catholic Church. She also dedicated her life to the poor, not in New York City, but in Calcutta, India. She spent her days amongst the untouchables, as they are called. In 1950, she founded the Missionaries of Charity, which has grown to include more than 4,500 nuns who actively work to house people with illnesses like leprosy and tuberculosis and HIV/AIDS. They exist in more than 130 countries. Despite her own moments of doubt, despite times when she confessed she wasn't sure she had much faith, Teresa's legacy inspires us and countless others to faith and to action. These are just a couple of my saints. I'm sure that you have a whole list of those that's going through your own minds right now. Well, the gospel reading for today, for this All Saints Sunday, it lays out the characteristics that many of our saints hold, the characteristics of the blessed. Reading along, we can easily situate the heroes of our faith, like Dorothy Day and Mother Teresa and all the others. We can situate them in the first list offered in the reading from Luke's gospel today. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Mother Teresa and Dorothy Day, although they were not born amongst the poor, they became poor. They chose poverty and hunger as they chose to live alongside the marginalized. But as we continue to read in Luke's gospel, we have to come to terms with the other list that is there, the other side of blessedness, as some call it. Woe to you. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full and laughing now, for you have received your consolation. At this point, maybe you, like I am, maybe you're feeling a little uneasy about your spiritual or eschatological reality. Can it really be so simple? Well, like Jesus' original audience, the disciples who had come from many socioeconomic backgrounds, we are forced to struggle between the chasm. We're forced to struggle right there in the middle between the blessing and the woes. And there is real tension and discomfort that exists between those two lists. Can you feel it? More tension, more discomfort than we might find in Matthew's version, which we read more often. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You hear the difference there? Oh, and Matthew also omits the woes. But there's tension in Luke's gospel. There's tension for us because the world that we experience, that we live in each and every day, it's not so black and white as it seems on the pages. There's discomfort here because if we're honest, most of us find ourselves more accurately described by that second list than by the first one. Well, with only two lists and not much overlap between the two, I'm convinced that most of us in this room today would not qualify to participate in God's blessings. But luckily, the text doesn't stop there. Perhaps if we keep reading, the third part of Jesus' Sermon on the Plain might help us sort out all of this tension and discomfort, or at least some of it. But I say to you that listen, Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other also. If someone takes your coat, offer them your shirt. Give to everyone who begs of you. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Here, those static and separate and uncompromising categories of wealth and poverty, of hunger and gluttony, of acceptance and marginalization, they are challenged with the unspoken yet heavily implied call to holy living. What are you doing with all that you have been given? Luke makes us wonder. Well, in this church, there are many examples of saints, people in both our past and our present who lived their lives with great faith, and people who inspired others to go and to do the same, people who graciously opened themselves to the movement and the calling of the Spirit on their lives, and they allowed God to begin working through them. These are our saints. And each time I remember the saints, it comes to mind how uniquely and how differently and how specially gifted each and every one of them was. Some gifted with joy, others with prayer and encouragement, some gifted teachers, others gifted workers behind the scenes, some with incredible financial resources and equally incredible generosity, and others with an abundance of time and a commitment to invest themselves in the community. Remembering those who Greystone lost this last year is a testament to the diversity of the saints that God has called together here to be this church. Today, we remember Tommy Bennett and the way that she invested her life into our children. We remember Virgie Baxley and the legacy of love that she instilled in her family, one that has grown legs and is working all throughout our city. And we remember Jim Paul and the music that he shared, which inspired so many. These are our examples of faithful living. These are the saints that we honor and remember today, and these are only a few. But we remember them not through rose-colored lenses that blot out all of their shortcomings. We remember them with the grace that recognizes the ways that they live their lives faithfully and the tension between the blessings and the woes, seeking to be more like Christ by becoming more fully who God created them and called them to be. Uniquely gifted, uniquely called to service. Trappist monk and theologian Thomas Merton wrote this about saints. He says, "A tree gives glory to God by being a tree. For in being what God means it to be, it is obeying God's own self. This particular tree will give glory to God by spreading its roots in the earth and raising its branches into the air and the light in a way that no other tree could. The lakes hidden among the hills, they are saints," Merton writes. "And the sea too, a saint who praises God without interruption in her majestic dance. There is no other like her. Nothing else in the world ever did or will imitate God in quite the same way. That is her sanctity." You see, those saints we remember today, they are ordinary people. They were ordinary just like you and me, and they allowed God to work through them for the good of others. For each and every one, that calling was unique and specific as the calling on the ocean to be the sea itself. The calling is uniquely based on the gifts that God has given to us, and they are uniquely appropriate for each moment in time. You see, for the saints that we honor today, there was no roadmap, there was no how-to guide, there was no one-size-fits-all option for a life lived in faith. Rather, there was a discipline, a daily practice cultivated through prayer and listening and self-giving that occurred over and over and over again. And so as we remember the saints today, if we want to be counted among them one day, our journey has to start in exactly the same place, a place of discipline and recognition about a God who has created us uniquely and called us to be something special, something unique, something differently gifted for a world that needs a great diversity of gifts. There isn't one uniform path to sainthood. There isn't one set of gifts which outshines the others. There isn't one particular vocation or interpretation or application that leads us directly to the heart of God. There are many. There always have been. There were 12 disciples, in fact, who each brought different gifts and resources to the table. There are 4 gospels that recount and describe the gospel of Jesus truthfully and yet differently and uniquely. There are more than 10,000 venerated saints in the Catholic tradition who followed God's calling into at least 10,000 different manifestations of righteousness. You see, there are many different ways to follow the call of God. And there are many in this room who are being called right now. There are many in this room who are being called to service and holy living, each with our different gifts to offer. The one thing that all of us and all the saints have in common is that we are called to live freely and selflessly. We are called to give of ourselves, to give all that we have for the good of others, for the good of those who are poor, for the good of those who are hungry, for the good of those who are excluded, for the good of those who are forgotten and broken and mocked and marginalized. All the gospels and all the prophets, and yes, even all the saints agree about that one thing. Today we remember those from our fellowship, from this church, who have gone on before us. And we gather around this communion table. And as we do so, we remember them as they came and received from this same table. And not only do we remember the saints of this church, of Greystone Baptist Church, but we remember Jesus himself who came to this table. We remember the 12 disciples who came to this table. We remember 2,000 years of faithful people who have come to this table. And at this table, we remember the legacies of holy living that have been set forth as examples for us. We remember the diversity of gifts and the many expressions of faithful living that extend not only to this table, but out from it. And so as we come today, we ask God to show us how God might be calling us, extensions of holy living out from this table. As we remember our saints, may we also and always remember that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And there's so much grace in that. Grace that bridges the gaps between the blessings and the woes. Grace that pulls us up out of the lie that we will never be good enough. And grace that reminds us that we are all called and capable of holy living. Living lives that are nourished and restored at this table. So that we might go from this place and live our whole lives in sacrificial service of our neighbors, each and every one. Let us pray together. Good and gracious God, as we listen and wait and open our ears to hear from you, we ask that you open us just enough that we might be able to receive a little bit of grace at this table. Grace that honors the legacies of those who have gone before, all the way from our saints here at Greystone to your disciples and to your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we give you an example of sacrificial giving poured out in each and every moment. We give you thanks for this table that nourishes us, and we give you thanks for each and every table that we will encounter in our world, and we ask that through these elements that you embolden us, empower us, and equip us with all that is needed to go and do extraordinary things
because you have animated us, you have called us, you have created us for that very purpose. So God, as we prepare to come to this table to receive these elements, we do so with humility and we do so with faith that you are bigger than this table and that you are big enough to take care of spreading your love in this world that so desperately needs it. So use us, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So many years ago, Jesus found himself at a table similar to this. And at that table, he shared a meal with his followers and his friends. And during the course of the meal, he took the bread. And after giving thanks, he blessed it and he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." And in the same way, he took the cup. After giving thanks, he poured it out, saying, "This is the cup of life poured out for you." Each time you find yourself around this table, each time you share of this bread and this cup, do so in remembrance of me, Jesus says. And so it is in deep gratitude and with great humility that we come to this table. And we bring all the faith that we have to this table of God's tremendous grace. Come, the table is ready. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat. This is the cup of life poured out for you. Take and drink. Sisters and brothers, having received the grace of God at this table, let us share that with one another by passing the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you. As we continue to relish in community and to receive God's grace through the handshake of a neighbor or a friend, old or new, or maybe even the peace of Christ, we've come to a time of response. And so as we sing together, let us open ourselves to the movement of God's Spirit in our lives. If God is calling us to commit to following Jesus as our Lord for the first time, and you want to make that profession of faith public, then come on down as we sing the hymn of response. Or if you'd like to join Greystone as a member, then we would gladly receive you. So come on down during the hymn of response. Or if you just need to say a word of prayer or to hear a word of prayer, then this is also a good time for that. So however God is calling you in this time, let us respond to God.
Worship together to celebrate the goodness of the saints and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What begins here as an act of worship now moves out into our community as acts of missions and service, some of which Bill Baxley reminded us of this morning. As you go, I hope that you will remember a few things that will be happening in the life of this community this week. Tonight, our youth will come back together for choir for the best pizza in all of Raleigh, and then they will bring their Halloween candy leftovers and trade it for stuff they like better. So I hope the youth will come back tonight, bring the candy, and save some Snickers for me. Also remember that this week you have an opportunity to hang out with Pastor Chrissy across the street on Tuesday night. And on Wednesday night, we will be serving up Cooper's Barbecue, which is the best barbecue in Raleigh. We'll serve Cooper's Barbecue, and then Steve Rose and myself will talk about some recent journeys that we've had and what we've learned and what we as a community might could benefit from those travels. Also, keep in mind that on November 17th, we will culminate our stewardship campaign with a Pledge Sunday. And the stewardship committee is hoping for 100% commitment from our pledges. So if you will please look at your pledge packet, think and consider and pray for how you want to support this church in the year to come, and then be prepared to make that commitment on November 17th. That evening at 6 o'clock, we will gather for church and conference. And church and conference can be kind of dry, it can be a little kind of monotonous, it's just a business meeting. So this November 17th, we're bringing pie. So if you have a Thanksgiving recipe that you're ready to try out before the big day arrives, bring it. Your brothers and sisters in the faith want to taste what you can create. So I hope you'll bring your pies on November 17th. Know that the business of the church will need your help in making decisions that night, but mark that on your calendar. As we come together and worship, the one thing that we understand and know is that truly our God is good, and truly our God is great. And in that mindset, we leave from this place remembering that truly our God is with us and for us.
How great. Our God. Say that again.
indeed, God is good, and God is good all the time, offering all the grace that we need to live our lives faithfully, not only here in this sanctuary, but out in the world, everywhere we find ourselves. So as we go with that difficult and rewarding calling to live our lives faithfully, let us go forth with this blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.